Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
So basically, I'm going to translate this. Lane Kiffin is saying the Ole Miss fans party too much and don't show up at the damn game on time.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
This is what happens. I'm on the fence about the pick. I haven't really made it in my mind, and I talk myself into it or out of it, right? Live on the pod.
And SI's Pat Forte.
I don't know how you fix it, per se. I think they're smart enough. The colleges, they've identified the issues, but they can't fix the issues.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Everybody is thinking about everyone down in Florida. Got a lot of listeners down in Florida. A lot of games getting moved. Not good. Not good. No. And it may curve up to everyone in Georgia, Carolina coast, whatever. It's not good. We don't like Ian.
No. Stay as safe as you can down there.
Yeah, don't go play out in the waves like some of these videos I'm seeing of people in Fort Myers. There's like four bros, you know, shirtless, got the bathing suit on, jumping into waves as a Category 4 hurricane roars ashore. Like the stupidest thing to do.
Yeah. Florida men.
Florida men. Florida bros.
Don't be them.
Just surfing down like 3rd Street.
Well, one of them also, one of the videos, you know how they, on a pier, they have the barriers around the door of the pier, the entrance to the pier, so you don't climb around. You can't climb around.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
He climbed over it and then ran, just bolted along the pier right into the beast. You know,
wow,
unbelievable.
Look, if you want to do it, just don't expect anyone to come get you.
Yeah, that's right. That's
like,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, hey, you know what? There's worse ways to go, I guess, than trying to fight a cat four, but. Just don't expect anyone to go in there after you.
That's right.
Like, you've been warned. Sure. You don't need a warning. I was like, the government is telling you not to do this. Like, how about just common sense? Yeah. God, I don't know if that's good for swimming out there. But anyway, that is happening. All right, we're going to pick a bunch of games. Great weekend for games. We've got five ranked-on-ranked matchups, which we don't get many weeks. We get one or none. So this is pretty good. So we got some good gains to thing. We got a couple items to discuss before. Let's get an update from Ross, who has been working up in Chicago at the playoff meetings. Anything new to report? I know there's nothing official to report, but you're working behind the scenes. Are we getting this playoff? What is happening?
Yeah, we expected really no final decisions or no real news to be shared, at least shared publicly. And that's exactly what happened. But I think there are a couple of things to kind of glean from this, from the meetings of the CFP commissioners. They met basically 10 hours over 2 days. They met about seven, eight hours yesterday, 2 or 3 hours Wednesday morning. So Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. But I think one thing to glean is they're collaborating together more than we've seen in the past. There seems to be a different atmosphere, a collegiality a little more, evidenced by Tuesday night. They all went to dinner together here in Chicago, all together, which wasn't something that happened all the time, especially the last year. It didn't happen that often, I don't believe. So there seems to be a better atmosphere. So that's one thing, and that's a positive thing. And then the second thing is they did get into the weeds a little bit in talking about certain aspects of expansion, and they didn't share what the weeds were. I haven't necessarily found out what those weeds are, and I don't know that they'll share much about it. But those two things together, the collegiality and collaboration together back, and then them actually getting deep into some concepts and some dates and things, tells me that they are really serious about getting this thing done early in 24 or 2025. I'm convinced that, you know, there's three options on the table here. Number one is, and it's the best option for all of us, is to have a playoff start in 24. And number two is 25. And number three is, the latest, is 26. So everything, there's a lot of optimism. I'll tell you that. There's more optimism than I've ever seen.
My theory here, I could well be wrong, is that, yeah, they think they can get it done. And a lot of, some of the initial fussing of, oh, it's going to be tough to do. Man, it's going to be really hard to turn around by 2024 is like the contractor that comes to your house to like put in windows. And he's like, I don't know if we can get it done in a week, but we're going to try. And they're going to make themselves look heroic then for getting it done. Exactly. Yeah. Undersell and overdeliver. That's my guess.
The idea that this would be the crew that would undersell and overdeliver is hysterical.
Like, well, you don't, 20, I mean, you don't have to try to lower expectations. 25
years too late, we finally got around to him.
And after almost delivering 16 months ago and then not delivering,
I don't care. I'm done making fun of him. Just get the playoff thing done.
You're not done making fun of him.
No, I'm not. I'm not. That was a lie. That was a lie. Ross, did anyone at the meeting stop you and think you were Matthew McConaughey? Did anyone?
No, I did not get stopped and mistaken, nor have I ever gotten stopped or mistaken for Matthew McConaughey.
This has taken on a life of its own on social media. A lot of people in agreement. And I think producer Sean Anderson, I think you came up with something for us here.
I did, yes. Okay. It took a little bit, but I drew on some inspiration from the last episode.
Okay. What do you got?
I could just play it right now.
Go ahead. Yeah, this is going to be good.
I hate to be a traditionalist, but
to any of us, whatever those things are, whatever it is we look up to.
What is that?
Whatever it is we look forward to.
Going to the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night.
Whoever it is we're chasing.
I've had multiple people reach out.
To that I say amen.
Woo!
To that I say, all right, all right, all right.
Come on, man. I don't sound like Matthew McConaughey. All right.
That's producing excellence right there by Sean Anderson, because that overlay, I'm telling you, we're on to something here.
Wait, was there a McConaughey in there too?
It was at times confusing trying to mix the clips because I did confuse Ross with McConaughey.
Yeah.
Just genuinely trying to mix together.
No way. So there was parts of that was Ross and parts of McConaughey. Oh my goodness.
That's the whole
Get
thing.
Get the hell out of here, Dan. Get out of here with that.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's been at least 4 to 5 different people on Twitter and independent of each other. And I've never gotten that before, ever.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
Worst, see worst if you things can get to be some called. Of his money.
There are much worse things to be called. I agree on that.
Yeah.
We have worse things. All right. So we have that. All right. Well, glad we got that out of the way. Good work, producer Sean.
Yeah.
I was not sure where it started and where it ended. I doubt that he talked glowingly about Matthew McConaughey was going to the Egg Bowl growing up in Mississippi like you.
Where does McConaughey end and Ross begin?
Other than that, I couldn't get a whole lot out of that. I know you did do the all right, all right, all right. Mm-hmm. So, all right, there you go. Good stuff. We'll keep an eye on this ongoing saga. All right, we're going to get to the games, but a couple of, I think, interesting things. One was Lane Kiffin this week. It was asked about the importance of the rowdy crowd, the home crowd. Ole Miss is hosting, is ranked 14th. They're hosting number 7, Kentucky. It's a huge game for both programs. The stadium sold out. They're going to stripe it up like Tennessee does. It's a big weekend in Oxford. And I don't know if the question was kind of looking for that just basic, it's important, can't wait for our fans or not. But the quote that came out of Lane was, read it here for you, was basically complaining or noting that he had to prepare his players for the lack of atmosphere at the beginning of the game and at the start of the second half and sometimes late in the game. He says, you come out before the game or halftime, and you run out the tunnel, and it looks like a high school game playing in a college stadium. You can't let that affect you. There is a psychology to that. There is a home field advantage for a reason. When it goes the other way, you kind of have this feeling, are we still playing in a game here? The players have to fight that. So basically, I'm going to translate this. Lane Kiffin is saying the Ole Miss fans party too much and don't show up at the damn game on time.
Yeah, I mean, that is what he's saying. He's right. I mean, it's Ole Miss, right? That's the tradition.
We win the
that's
tailgate. The we win, the, win tailgate. The tailgate.
That's right.
I'm sure he would like to win the first quarter and the third quarter with full stands, too. So I understand what he's trying to do, but you're fighting a lot of tradition and a lot of Grove fun there.
And he gets this from his former boss, right? Remember a couple of years ago, Nick Saban, right? And it seemed like seems like once every season or two, Saban comes out with one of these to the fans when you look up at halftime, Alabama's up on some opponent, you know, 45-0, and the student section specifically at Alabama just clears out. And I've been plenty of Ole Miss games to know that the Grove waits for no one. And at halftime, even if it's a close game, they're back there and they're partying it up. And sometimes I don't blame them, but you would think in a game of this magnitude, two undefeated teams, top 15 or so matchup, that they would come and they would support throughout the whole game. And I'll be there, so I'll be on watch, and I will be at the Grove before and after. Yes.
Oh,
maybe not during.
Although you never know. Maybe if someone goes.
That's right.
All right. So is this a big problem? I don't know if a big problem. This is a problem. I personally, if a fan wants to go and never walk in the stadium, I mean, I'm not going to tell them. Sometimes, I've been to games and I'm happier sitting at the tailgate. You got a tent, you got the TV, whatever. Some of these games are horrible. I mean, I'm sorry, but when they're playing Central Arkansas, you really want people to sit around for 4 hours in the 100-degree heat and watch Ole Miss crush Central Arkansas? College football fans are kind of sold a con because they're given so many bad games and so many lopsided games, and they're told, just take it, show up, pay all this money, and this is what you have to go to. And the kind of the sale is, well, you get these great tailgates and this beautiful place to go, and you're back in this campus that some of you went to and all this stuff. But the product in terms of competitiveness is only good maybe three or four of the games, maybe more. Depends on kind of what you are. But so I don't really blame a bunch of Ole Miss fans sitting through. Let's say they played Tulsa, I think, last week. Let's say it's hot. You're up two TDs on Tulsa, and you're like, I can go back to the Grove and sit under a tree and have a couple drinks. But schools have tried to do everything they can to change this, including Ole Miss. And it doesn't seem to be working, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, there are party decks now instead of stands, better Wi-Fi. There's DJs that kind of guide the game. LED lights, the shows after the third quarter, the sing-along songs, the Ole Miss itself has like a brew house in the stadium. They're doing everything they can to keep you there. You can buy alcohol now in the stadium. I mean, that was what was killing them, is people.
That's one of the biggest things there.
They were getting hammered till midway through the first quarter because they didn't know they could make it three hours. And
God forbid 3 hours without a drink.
Yeah, that's right.
And now they've got it. So I don't know what are your thoughts on this, Pat? I think it's kind of funny. Lane is not the only coach or AD upset that their fans are more into the party than the football.
Yeah, no, but you know what? This somewhat, to a degree, goes to the point we talked about on the last pod, and we have talked about many other times. It's like you're like trying to fight New Year's Eve. The party's going to win. The party almost always wins, especially with the younger fans. So that's the impediment there. I think selling alcohol in the stadium gives you a chance, but the other big factor that you mentioned is just playing a bunch of non-competitive games. And fans like to see their team win, but mostly they, you know, if when the game's in hand and it's not interesting, they'll check out. And so that's on the schools for how they schedule. That's the choice or the trade-off they have to make, all right? Is it going to be good for us to schedule three bad teams for wins? Okay, yes, but it's also going to hurt our stadium atmosphere. Okay, well, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. I don't know if there's a solution. I really don't, especially with the college-age crowd. You know, the attention spans are different. The ability to just sit there and look at a football game for 3.5-4 hours. Also, game length is a problem. They do nothing but get longer every year in college football. And that's, you know, you're asking a lot from people that aren't used to sitting still and watching something for that long. So I don't know how you fix it per se. I think they're smart enough. The colleges, they've identified the issues, but they can't fix the issues.
They have, yeah, they have. And we've seen some schools going away from the big neutral site games and having those games home and home, you know, at home. Gosh, remember, like, you know, there was a 10, 12, 15-year stretch where the big thing to do was go play at some neutral site. Your biggest non-conference games were at some neutral site instead of catering to your home fan and your home community and your home stadium. And now we're seeing that kind of come back. We do have some neutral sites, but a lot of schools are starting to now go with the non-conference home and home. And then we've seen the increase in conference games. I mean, we talked about a little bit, you know, SEC, for instance, you know, it seems to be barreling toward a nine-game conference schedule. And so, you know, you add and you give your season ticket holders and your home crowd another good game. So, like you said, they have identified the issues, the opponent, the lack of alcohol, the stadium comfort there. But you're right, it's so hard to get people there and to stay there.
But yeah, but I do think they've solved a lot of those comfort problems, or they're doing their best. I think the game competitive is the big thing. Look, NFL fans drink just as much as college fans, if not more, but they don't have this is not a thing.
Right. Because the games are all close.
The games are close.
Yeah. Yeah.
The games are always competitive. You almost always have a chance to come back. You certainly at halftime, you're never really almost rarely out of it. And those games, you don't have any fans show up. You know, when you're in one of those Jacksonville seasons last year or something, no one's coming the first place. But I think that's the huge thing. And then, yeah, the other parts are just hard to do. One thing about NFL stadium is, generally speaking, I mean, let's just take Ole Miss. A good 30 to 40% of the people in the stadium are within walking distance of their house. Right. Yeah. So they can leave and just walk home to their fraternity, their sorority, their dorm. Right. And then there's all the bars and all this stuff. If you're at MetLife Stadium, you know, it's not easy to just bail out. And then if you want, yeah, you want to walk to bars or go back to the Grove where it's really nice and spend the rest of the day watching TV. That's better than the parking lots of NFL stadiums for the most part. But they're not, you know, they don't drink any less. I mean, have you seen Bill's Mafia?
Oh, God. No, I think they drink more.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some of this will go. But, yeah, pretty interesting because I agree. It's a thing, but I just don't blame the fans. I attended a game as a fan this year. It was about 95 degrees. It was a Michigan game. I am not a Michigan fan, so I'm just sort of there to watch college football and be with some friends. The TV timeouts, I know they talk about the clock stoppage and the game action, and that is a factor, and maybe you can peel a couple minutes off or peel some. I'm not necessarily opposed to, like, enough with the stopping of the clock all the time, but those TV timeouts just feel long.
Yeah.
And it's like every time they stop play and go, hey, we have a media timeout, the whole place groans because it's like, oh,
right.
4.5 minutes of just sitting here grilling in the sun.
Isn't it three and a quarter? And each of them are 2 to 3 minutes, right?
Oh, I mean, at least 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah. There's a couple of stories just in the last year written about, you know, the future of game clock rules. And Steve Shaw's talked about it quite a bit. And I think, you know, we're going to have some changes coming, especially with the playoff. The playoff is going to trigger some changes for game clock and try to shorten the game. And I think there are two changes they've looked at now for over a year that I think are coming. And one of them is when you get a first down, as soon as the ball is snapped, then the clock stops. And after an incompletion, as soon as the ball is spotted, the clock begins. Now, that's going to be a tough one with coaches. But the key is, the real issue is freaking TV timeouts. You work with the networks and say, hey, and I think I believe Seth Emerson of The Athletic wrote a story about this and mentioned this in there, is that the network is open to, ESPN is open to having, like, dual mid-game, in-game ads, so that maybe you take out a commercial or two. Like, that'd be great. Like, that's the real reason, you know, honestly, is the TV timeouts. And I know, you know, college offenses, college throw the ball around a lot. So if you do the incompletion rule, boy, it combined with the TV stuff, you'll be shave off 10 to 15 minutes a game. Pretty easy.
It'll be quicker. And go ahead, Pat.
No, I just think that would make a big difference. 10 to 15 minutes would be an appreciable difference.
I don't know if they'll get that much off that, but they might. I don't know. The TV timeout to me is worse because as slow as the game is, like when the game is on, you know, you're just waiting for like the play clock.
Right.
And they're usually not running the play clock all the way down. So like the game is happening, but when they stop it, it's just dead. And they have so much time. They're bringing out the field hockey team or the, you know, the this or
yeah,
this,
all the people whose programs you want to get rid of. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now you're bothered. No, they bring out. It takes a long time. It takes a long time. Anyway, Ole Miss fans.
You and Shane Beamer, though, trying to, you know, Shane Beamer shooing Shane the female Beamer athletes trying to get off the field.
That's right. Damn right. Priorities, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was not good because that was like the honoring of Title IX.
Yeah. He's like, get off my football field.
Tough. Yeah. It's tough. Well, someone's paying the bills there. Someone's paying the bills. I don't forget what I was going to say. Ole Miss fans. Okay. Load up, but then just get in. Get in the stadium. Don't let poor Lane feel and the Rebels feel bad when they come out the halftime.
That's right. Bring your drinks.
Get to the brew pub. They added 250 point of sale things inside the Vaught Hemingway Stadium. They've got vendors now. They get your drink on. Sure, do whatever you need. You know, gummies, whatever you got. I think those things still is that still illegal in Mississippi? I think it is.
Gummies? I don't think gummies are legal in the old SIP. No. No.
Well, go up the
The video, by the way, Lane, let me speak to Lane and Ole Miss for a second. There's a couple things happening here that I think shows Lane's frustration with Ole Miss and Oxford at times. This is one of them, obviously the fan issue, which is a big deal to any coach. I mean, it's a home field advantage, and if it's not good enough, you know, why would you stay at the school? There's a second thing going on at Ole Miss, and in Mississippi, and in certain states. It's going on in a lot of schools, and we've talked about it, I think, on the show a month or so ago. There's NIL and the collectives. No, they're having an issue there. And actually on Friday, I've heard that they're making some announcement about a Ole Miss collective, a new collective, a rebranding of their collective, you know, whatever, the Grove group or whatever. And, you know, it's been a struggle there. So, man, you want Ole Miss, you want to keep your coach and keep your coach happy. Show up to the game. Start taking the collective NIL stuff seriously. Because, man, I'm telling you, he's going to have – he wins 9-10 games again this year. He's going to have plenty of opportunities to leave.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time Ole Miss lost a coach to Auburn.
That's right. I don't know how much better of a job that is, but it is better. I would think it is better. So,
yeah, I mean, and look, I think Lane had a little bit of the wandering eye last year. He's always had the wandering eye. That's who he's been throughout his career. So, I meant for job purposes.
Joey Freshwater, is that?
I was talking about his professional nomadic tendencies.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. He did tweet out today. This is the anniversary of the time in an effort to troll his boss Al Davis when he was the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. R.I.P. He sent out Sebastian Janikowski to attempt a 76-yard field goal.
I love the video of that. And I don't. Is it a Phil? Is it Phil Sims? Maybe is the color analyst. And he says, the wind's against him. Like it's like the worst idea ever to begin with. And then Phil Sims is like piling on top. Like, by the way, it's 76 yards, and the wind is against him.
It was only about 15 to 20 yards short.
Yeah, it was at least 15 yards.
Other than that, it was right there. One of the great moments in NFL.
Would have been good for 55.
I'm getting fired anyway. F it. Let's try. Yeah. Let's see if Sebastian can hit it from 76.
It makes you feel better, Dan. It would have been good from about 58. So there you go.
God bless him. All right, let's pick these games. Might as well start with Ole Miss. They are hosting Kentucky, number 7 Kentucky. The game is at noon, much to the chagrin of an 11 a.m. local time, much to the disappointment of the Ole Miss fans. That's a tough one. Big game on campus and you get the 11 a.m., but plenty of time after. We've got Ole Miss giving seven-point favorites. Kentucky's ranked higher, but Vegas likes Ole Miss. Pat, who do you like?
Seven is too much. I am taking Kentucky and the points there. Kentucky comes into the game as the second worst rushing offense in the SEC, only ahead of Mississippi State, which doesn't even try. But that's going to change because Kentucky's star running back, Chris Rodriguez, is back from his suspension after running for 1,400 yards last year. That's a game changer. They're going to have some balance to their offense for the first time this year. Will Levis is a legitimate quality quarterback. Their defense is good. Ole Miss needs to run the ball this year. Their passing game hadn't been great. So I think this factors in well for Kentucky to cover, possibly even to win outright. But I am definitely taking the Cats and the points here.
Yeah, this feels like no respect for the Wildcats. Seven point underdog. I know it's on the road and all that stuff, but man, no respect for Stoops in the in his football school. I mean, it just it shocked me when I saw the spread here. I'm in agreement with Pat. I think the Wildcats cover. If not win, I think I ended up picking Ole Miss to win, but I just expect it to be a really tight game in a hopefully, if Lane Kiffin gets his way, a great atmosphere there in Oxford.
Sean?
I might be a Lane Kiffin apologist. It's just I like him on the sidelines. I like what he does. I think he's going to drop some stuff against Kentucky and have him on the ropes pretty early here. I'm going with Ole Miss to cover the seven, and then I think he's going to inspire the crowd to come out for at least the first half. So if they can build up a big enough lead there, then maybe they can hold on to it in the second
half. Then they can all leave at halftime.
Yeah, I think they'll do their best. The problem is the traffic jam from Memphis has already started.
Oh, yeah.
So just getting into that stadium
at
11 a.m. I mean, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners have been to old. There's like one road in and one road out. So you may be surprised to know the state of Mississippi doesn't have the most highways and infrastructure in the country. So this will be a little tough. All right. Here's the thing about this. I would pick Kentucky and the points, but I am going to take Ole Miss. It's because when Vegas does this, we've talked about it a few times this year, when the lower ranked team is, particularly if they're not ranked, is dramatically higher than the higher ranked team, Vegas is all over this thing, and they're usually right. They have a remarkable record at times. So I am going to take Ole Miss, solely because I don't want to be kicking myself saying I know this trick, and I fell for it again. So I certainly could see Kentucky covering and winning, but I'm going to take Mississippi Rebels. All right. Number 22, Wake Forest. And good on the voters for not dumping Wake Forest out.
Yeah. But I think you just did the fix to the fix, Dan. So
or did they fix the fix?
Yeah.
I don't, those casinos don't get smaller out there. They don't get smaller.
No, they don't.
I've been going to Vegas for a long time, and every time they get bigger. Number 22, Wake Forest. At number 23, Florida State. Nice little ACC game. Florida State is a 7-point favorite at home. Ross?
Same thing. Seems so high to me of a spread. We just saw Wake Forest go toe-to-toe with Clemson, and I know Clemson's not maybe the dominant team that we are used to from years past, but, man, 7 points just seems like a big spread. Sam Hartman obviously been playing extremely well. I mean, blew up Clemson in the secondary last week, and I look for something similar to happen. So give me the Demon Deacons. I don't necessarily think that means Wake's going to win, but I think they'll keep it within a touchdown.
Yep, I agree. I was there. I watched Wake play Clemson, and I mean, Wake's a legit team. They went so long being illegitimate that people have been slow to give them the credit for building a program. And it's a really good quarterback, really good receivers, good offensive line that held up against a Clemson defensive front that's elite. And the defense is getting better. It's good enough. Now, I mean, they got to deal with 6'7" Johnny Wilson going deep against them, and that could be a bit of a problem. But seven is too much. Wake absolutely covers, quite possibly wins outright.
For this year, this is my dream ACC championship game. I'm hoping they can make a run here, both of these teams. I'm taking Wake Forest here. I thought they showed me a lot versus Clemson, just fighting with them the entire game and then going into overtime. I know they lost, but that's a team that can ride a loss into momentum, and not a lot of teams can do that. That's what I'm seeing from them. And then Florida State's no team to sneeze at, but I'm going with Wake Forest to cover the 7.
Sean, how old are you?
I am 24 years old.
24 years old, and you're spending time on your dreams contemplating ACC championship game.
Clemson has had a long enough run. I want to see.
Your dream should be much juicier than that. At 24.
You are the perfect producer for this. But let's expand things out. Okay. Thank you for being that obsessed. But
we appreciate your monomania, but go ahead and branch
out. You're single and 24. You're allowed to dream about the other stuff. I'm taking Wake. Give me 7. That's a nice team. They burnt me last week, although mainly it was Clemson's fault for not converting the 2-point conversion. That game is at 3:30 on ABC. Also at 3:30, Alabama Crimson Tide, number 2 in the country, visiting Fayetteville, number 20, Arkansas. Game is on CBS. Arkansas is getting 17.5. Home, big home dog. Everyone betting on Alabama. Pat, back to you.
I like the hook. Give me the hook. Give me the Hogs. It's a half point too many. Maybe even 3.5 too many. Alabama has not been a good true road team last year or so far in their one game this year. So I unless they can show that they have tightened things up in terms of penalties, execution, taking care of the details, which obviously, you know what, Nick Saban's pretty good at that stuff, so maybe they have, but I'm taking Arkansas and all those points to cover.
Man, this is a tough one because it seems like a lot of points, especially for a home team that's been playing really well, that has a pretty dynamic quarterback, an offense that can be explosive at times. Seems like a fairly consistent defense and a team that probably should be undefeated. You know, if a field goal doesn't goes just 3 or 4 inches, then the Hogs would probably be undefeated, but you look at the history of this series, wherever, in Fayetteville or in Tuscaloosa, and it is a disaster for Arkansas. I mean, it is a disaster. You know, I think Alabama's won by at least 19 points in their last 3 trips to Fayetteville, and they've won by at least that much in every single game except last year, which was actually kind of tight, 42-35. I say all this to say that I'm going to say the Hogs are going to somehow cover, even though I don't like the pick at all. So I don't recommend it. But give me the Hogs for whatever reason.
I don't know what just happened.
I know.
You just laid out all the reasons Arkansas is going to get killed, but then said you're taking the Hogs.
This is what happens. I'm on the fence about the pick. I haven't really made it in my mind, and I talked myself into it. Or out of it,
you did.
Right? Live on the pod. It's like, hey, last time I did this, you guys made fun of me in the Texas Longhorns covered. Remember, I was asking
that's
for a
true.
Backdoor cover.
I called
cover.
It the fentanyl I was, pick. I called it the
I was
fentanyl
hoping
pick.
For a backdoor cover. I didn't even need a backdoor cover.
No, backdoor
cover,
so. Push.
A backdoor
push. You talked yourself into a backdoor push. And then
that's right.
Texas, and then it paid off for
yes,
you.
Yes, it paid
this
off. Let's hope the Hogs. Give me 17.5. Give me the Hogs.
All right, Sean.
This game feels a lot like that Alabama-Texas game where Alabama's on the road and it's a big spread. I don't think Saban liked how they won that game at all. I think that they are going to be locked in for this. I think they cover 17.5 pretty handily in this game. So I'm taking Alabama to cover.
My rule one is don't bet against Bama, because then you, when you lose, you're sitting there calling yourself a moron. It's not even the financial loss, it's like the self-esteem loss. Like, how could you be so dumb to pick against this team? Yet I'm gonna do it.
There you go.
Woo pig. 17.5.
Yeah.
Woo pig. Let's do it.
There you go. Good. Yeah, did we all just take the Hogs? No, Sean took Alabama.
Sean's all smart. Right. He's
Yeah.
He's maybe dreaming of winning the thing. That's what he's doing. All right.
Need some work. Y'all are, everybody's trailing me. Let's make that clear. Okay.
Well, nobody's cloaked in honor here. Number 9, Oklahoma State at number 16, Baylor. Baylor Bears are 2-point favorites. Very, very interesting game in the Big 12. That game is at 3:30 as well on Fox. A lot of work to be done. The 3:30 window is looking pretty juicy. We tell you the times when you do the apple picking, you do the leaf raking. This is not that time.
Yeah, not 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, try to do the apple. Save it for later. Okay. Yes. Let's go to the apple orchard, dear. All right. 3:30 at Fox. You like, unless you like an apple orchard, Ross. You seem to scoff at that. I don't know.
You're an apple orchard guy. What is happening?
I don't know.
No, I'm not. I didn't have an apple today. The CFP put out apples for us. How about that?
It's apple season. It's apple season. They're good right now.
It is apple season. Oh, yeah.
Fall, I had an apple myself today. It was good.
Yeah, look at you all.
Number 9, Oklahoma State at Baylor. Baylor 2-point favorite. Ross, who are you picking?
Rematch of last year's Big 12 championship game that Baylor barely pulled out. It was an epic game, and I was there, and it was awesome. It was one of the better games I've been to, like, in my life. It was really electric. It was awesome atmosphere, and I expect the same. I expect a really tight game, and I'm gonna, you know, I think I would pick whoever was at home in this game, and so give me the Bears to barely cover that too. They've got a great defense. Dave Aranda has put together another salty defense. That's all he does. It seems like I think they're like 20th or 24th in the nation in total defense, and they've impressed. So give me the Bears to cover this one.
That was the most dramatic ending with monster stakes of the entire season last year. I mean, literally last play at the goal line tackle to decide who wins the championship and to knock Oklahoma State out of the playoff. I mean, that was incredible drama. And guess what? Oklahoma State's going to remember that, and they're going to come in breathing fire. I think Oklahoma State is a little like Minnesota last week. Haven't played anyone, have steamrolled everyone, and they're just waiting for the chance to show how good they are. I think they're the best team in the Big 12. I think they go in, and they're going to win outright. They will easily cover the spread, and they're going to beat the Bears.
Ooh. All right.
I think Gundy gets this team really fired up. I'm going with Oklahoma State here. This is a team that is ready to bounce back after that championship loss last year and then really make a true bid for the rest of the season. And how else do you set it off by beating number 16 Baylor? I'm taking Oklahoma State in this game.
I'm going to take Baylor. They're at home. Oklahoma State's tough. I mean, they gave a 44 to Central Michigan, and I know a lot of that was late in the game, but that one's got some caution. It's hard to know. They played Arizona State. Arizona State's a disaster. I'm going to take Baylor. They're at home solely. This is a pretty much a pick 'em to me, but I'll take 2 points in the home team. All right. NC State, number 10. Huge game for Dave Dorian's program. NC State, sneaky good program. At number 5, Clemson. Clemson, 6.5-point favorites. How about that? Only 6.5 as a home favorite. Clemson, of course, survived. Pat, you saw him last week. That game is at 7:30 on ABC. Pat, who you got?
Oh, boy. It's a tough one. But I think the combination of the factors, Clemson at home at night. NC State has not played a super rigorous schedule. It's not terrible. I mean, Texas Tech, they won, but that was at home. Their only road game was at East Carolina, and they would have lost if East Carolina's kicker hadn't missed an extra point in a field goal. So I'm not sure it's a great road team, and they're going into the toughest road environment in the ACC. I am not betting against Clemson giving less than a touchdown to anyone in that league.
You know, when a team has a game like Clemson had last week, you know, like a really tough road game where it comes down to the wire and you gut it out and because of it, you've got your stars feeling great. Like, you know, Shipley had a great game and DJ Uiagalelei had a great game and I think it just gives you some motivation, some fire for the whole season, including the next week. And I think this is what's going to happen. And so give me the Tigers at home to cover this one. But you're right, Dan. You know, Dave Dorian, it kind of goes a little under the radar. I mean, he's had like 3-9 win seasons in the last 5 years. He's got them playing really well. And this kind of feels like their year. In preseason, it kind of always felt like their year. And then, of course, they opened up with East Carolina and almost got beat, probably should have. Didn't play really well. And this is the game everybody was circling. It's here. And I think Clemson not only wins, but covers the 6.5.
NC State, they scorned me early on my first ever show with you all. I had them as my lock of the week versus ECU, and I'm going to take that with me forever. So I am not going to take NC State the
bitterness,
in this game.
Bitterness factor.
I'm taking Clemson at night, at home. To me, it just makes too much sense, and I think they're going to win by 7 pretty easily.
I like having a fellow bitter better.
All right. Clemson is terrible in the secondary. Devin Leary is supposed to be an NFL prospect. However, NC State ranks 95th in passing yards per game. Leary is at only 220, 2.5 a game, 9 TDs, 2 picks. I think NC State has to exploit the secondary. I don't know if that will happen. If Leary was a little sharper early, I'd go with it. Could be wrong. But yeah, you give me the history, the might of the program, Death Valley at night, the whole deal. I'm going to take Clemson to win and cover on this thing. But huge night for NC State. They are under the radar always. They would get out of the radar really quick if they beat Clemson on the road in front of everybody watching on Saturday night. All right, lock of the week time. I think we've been okay at these.
Yeah.
I'm 2-2.
That's better than everything else.
Well, we get to choose. You know. I mean, we're obligated to pick these games. My Wyoming game last week. That was easy.
Yeah, yeah. My lock last week was a disaster. Picked Boise to cover a pretty big spread, and they got trucked by Utah.
Told you not to mess with the Sun Bowl.
I picked SMU to cover. Sonny Dykes came into town and whipped them up.
Yep.
Is anyone going to pick UConn? I think they're getting 24.5. Against now that they apparently are going, the staff is considering, this is according to Joe Aruda of the Hartford Current, the staff is considering playing a 6-foot, 300-pound defensive lineman, Jelani Stafford. He could be their running back.
Make it happen. Now,
I don't know if this will result in lots of yards, but there are some horrified linebackers out there and cornerbacks.
Yeah. I would like to see it, but that's one more good reason never to bet on UConn, and certainly not to cover any number.
Okay. Who are they playing? I don't even know who they're playing. I got so excited about this guy. Oh, Fresno. Fresno is visiting.
Ooh, yeah. Return game of Fresno just obliterating them out in the valley.
Oh, that was ugly last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who you got? What's your lock of the week, Pat?
I am going road dog in the Big Ten. Illinois, who is pretty salty, is getting 8.5 at Wisconsin, who is pretty bad. I am going to take the Illini to cover that. Thank you for giving me more than a touchdown there. That's going to be a low-scoring slog. Illinois' defense is really good. Like, one of the top 2 or 3 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin is just, they're a bad team. I mean, they got beaten by at home by Washington State. They got destroyed by Ohio State. Those are the only two good teams they played. Their other wins are fluff. Illinois is one blown defensive possession at the end of the game against Indiana from being undefeated. They should be undefeated. They dominated their other three opponents. I'm going to take the Illini to certainly cover, possibly win outright. 8.5.
Certified lock.
The Illini to Indy bit is real.
Might be.
Let's see. Ross?
The little town in Starkville, Mississippi this week, Texas A&M visits the Bulldogs. I've got 3.5-point favorite Mississippi State. Give me the Bulldogs to cover that 3.5 over an Aggies team that offensively has just looked awful. And I don't think the game against Arkansas proved otherwise. It was a struggle. It was a struggle there. So I think that State covers with Will Rogers at quarterback. 3.5 just seemed pretty small to me. So give me Kalenga to lock it up.
Certified lock.
A&M just landed another great defensive line recruit, David Hicks, NIL. Out of Katy, Texas.
Don't tell Oklahoma Jimbo it's NIL.
It was not. I mean, there's no. I mean, Oklahoma. Everybody was crystal balling it to Oklahoma, and then last.
What do you know? I mean,
we know one thing: there was no NIL.
That's right. Oh wait, Jimbo's this right. is I. Dan, I did just see this. It just like came across the wire, and there's a. Now, I don't know. There's a Twitter account, yeah, from Sooner Scoop. So take what you will from this. This reporter is reporting he was told that the Sooner staff was told by Hicks that he was committing to OU, and that Hicks never informed the OU staff that he was flipping to the Aggies. Oh. Cruton, baby, Cruton.
Let's go. SEC. That's good. I like a little extra spice on that. We'll see. David Hicks, heck of a player, top 15 player in the country. Sean, who are you picking?
I am going with Old Reliable here so far this season, and that is Oregon State. They are facing up against Utah. They are dogs by 10.5 points. This Oregon State team is covered against Fresno State. They beat one of the best FCS teams, Montana State, by 40 points, and they just covered in a 3-point loss versus USC last week. Jonathan Smith and his crew have not let me down so far this year, so I'm taking 10.5 points for Oregon State versus Utah.
Certified lock.
All right. I'm not picking this one, but it's probably the smart pick. Iowa is getting 11 as a top 5 opponent. Michigan shows up in Iowa City. The history of that is very good for Iowa. Iowa generally wins those games outright. So where top 5 teams go to die is Iowa.
And Michigan's been one of them a couple of times.
Michigan has been one of them before. And you're giving me 11. But I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that because Iowa is just – I have no idea what's coming with Iowa.
Yeah. You just can't bet on them.
I am going to take Maryland giving 8.5 hosting Michigan State. I think Michigan State is horrible. And I think this is the week that that becomes readily apparent. The other thing is Maryland has an excellent offense. So they're averaging 474 yards a game. Tulia Tagovailoa is playing almost as well as his brother. They lost up at Michigan, but made it a good game. I think Maryland wins this game by a couple touchdowns. Michigan State's defense and their secondary cannot cover anyone. So I like Maryland in this game more. I'm staying away from that. Iowa's like a Bermuda Triangle of just a, I don't know what's going on there.
Certified lock.
Maryland's playing coy with a couple of injuries, including Talia. He's practicing, but now Loxley's been like, we're not sure, but he's been out practicing, so I'm not buying that. But Rakeem Jarrett, their receiver, there's some question about him as well. So that's one. If you really want to bet it, and we are not betting actual money here other than for this case of beer, wait until close to the game and figure out who's playing.
All right, that, fair enough. I did not know Tulia might not play, but I don't know. I expect him to play.
How about Nebraska's favored in a Big Ten game? I was tempted. I was tempted to take Indiana in this one, but it's Indiana. I just don't know whether you can trust them. But I was shocked to see Nebraska's a 3.5 point favorite against the Hoosiers.
It's a serious pillow fight. It's a serious pillow fight right there.
Yeah.
Penn State only 26.5 over Northwestern, too. There's a lot of Big Ten is juicy this week.
Yeah, it is.
That would be my backup. If
that's a good one. Yeah.
If Tagovailoa can play, I'm taking Maryland. That's my pick. Okay. But if you don't see that, keep an eye on that Penn State game. Northwestern's awful.
These
West teams coming east, they're just the Big Ten West is a dog.
Yeah.
I'm tempted also Washington only giving 2.5 at UCLA. As I said in the 40-yard dash, UCLA is so desperate to get people in the stands. They are out on Wilshire Boulevard throwing tickets at passing cars at this point. Friday night game, it'll be fun to watch. Washington, I would pick them because I think they look really good, but it's the first road game. Do they tense up a little bit maybe and play below their level?
Another wild card out there, Georgia Tech, the week after the fired coach deal. They travel to Pitt. Pitt's only given 22.
Yeah, that one's only tempting.
how far the 1990 national champions have fallen, huh?
That's how far they've fallen. They've fired their coach. So, a lot of times after the firing, I mean, look, they've lost to, they lost to Clemson 41-10. They lost to Ole Miss 42-0, and they lost to UCF 27-10. They did beat Western Carolina. It's actually not that bad. But I don't know. If Georgia Tech quits, it's an easy opportunity.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Those are some of our thoughts. Don't take our advice. Don't take our advice.
But we'll be back with more chess sagas and other things like that.
Yeah, do come back on Sunday night, Monday, when we overreact to the whole thing and enjoy what should be an excellent day of football. A lot of really exciting games from across the country. That's when the sport's at its best. We will talk to you later.